this man travels supernaturally from one place to the other. I mean, it's not by plane or car or even bicycle, but through the invisible world. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. Angry! And he had reason to be angry. My guest, Mike Swartz, was angry. His father left before he was born. I mean, you almost were raised angry at the world.
I really can't remember a time when I wasn't angry, and I didn't want to be. You know, that was, it was, I wouldn't say it was funny, but I didn't want to be angry. But it was there, maybe the rejection, and you know, I couldn't understand it. It didn't seem like I was able to do good. And when I was younger, you know, everybody thought I was the kid that most was likely to die a horrible death at 18.
Did people say that in your presence?
Yes.
Not that specific, maybe,
yeah,
but just,
yeah,
you'll never
times.
Amount to anything.
My family did that. It was curses many
yeah.
times. It was, they had a cuss word for me that I won't repeat, but it was, that was what they called me. And, it was hard. It takes its toll.
Did it bother you that you didn't have a father when you were growing up?
Now I'm realizing that it did. Back then, you know, when you're going through it, you don't know this is not normal because it's normal mm-hmm. for you. Yeah, it bothered me.
Did you get into crime, drugs?
I was into everything. I was continually in trouble. I probably had 50 arrests, spent a couple years in jails. I was into every kind of drug there is, except, I don't know why, I never got into heroin because I thought it was a dead man's drug, but everything else was too.
Well, you thought right.
Yeah, I was in every drug you can do, and I was into every sort of perversion with men and women. It didn't matter, I mean.
I have noticed that a lot of people that have bad fathers or no fathers, somehow they fall into the trap of homosexuality. There seems to be a pattern.
Yeah, and I don't know about that, but I know where I was. And it just seems like when things open up, there's nothing holy about anything anymore. And I had no hope. But there was something inside me since I was a kid that I would lay up at night and cry. When I'd hear about this this person named Jesus, I would cry, and I didn't understand that I was raised Catholic. But nobody told me about the salvation, you know, nobody explained to me any of that stuff for years. And I'd lay at night and cry, you know, I'd hear a whistle blow. And every night this train would go by and the whistle would blow and I'd cry and I said, God, I want to be good. But why can't I be good? This was since I was 8, 9 years old.
Why'd you join the military service?
Oh, it was either join the military or go to jail.
Really?
Yes, sir. Back in the Vietnam days, they needed all the help they could get. So when I lived in Chicago, and I was just involved in some more trouble, and they gave us a choice back then to go in the Army or go to jail. And back then, John Wayne was popular, and you didn't think bullets could kill you. You know, it was like this glorious thing of killing some. It's not that way.
Vietnam was not fun.
Vietnam was a horror. A horrible nightmare. There's nothing glorious about
that. You had some pretty close calls.
There's nothing glorious about killing anybody. That's the devil. We got overrun on June 6th, 1966, and I was trying to find this other personnel carrier that got blown up, and it was on fire, so somebody had to go over there. I'm not a hero, but sometimes you just do heroic things. And on the way there, I ran into 3 North Vietnamese. And I was crawling on my hands and knees with a .45 in my belt. And I hit them with my head on their knees. And I looked up and I remember saying, oh God, I'm dead. And when that happened, they looked down at me And they pointed the finger at me and started laughing. And I felt this strange presence. And they just walked off. They shot the machine gun in the air and walked off.
That doesn't make any sense to me, Mike. How could that happen?
I don't know. I mean, I know why it happened now. I didn't know then.
What did you think when it happened? You lucky?
Yeah. Yeah, really. And then there was a voice said to me that tormented me later. This voice said to me, "You're not even good enough to go to hell." And that hurt me worse. That really is like the rejection stronghold that was in me and the self-pity. It just ate that up.
You think you're rejected. You think the world has treated you badly. Well, you're looking at a man that never knew anything but rejection. And I'm going to tell you something. It was supernatural. And what was it, three men ready to shoot you?
Yeah, they were killing everybody. There was already 100 wounded and 20 dead on the ground. And we were overrun. There was about 120 of us, and there was 1,500, 2,000 of them. And they ambushed us in the swamps, and they were killing everybody. Just about everybody was wounded or hurt, and we were pinned down, and we couldn't get any help. And I was miraculously saved.
So you survive Vietnam, you come back, and tell me about that day you went to the gym.
Well, years later, I went to the gym, and this guy was messing with me. He had this "I Love Jesus" T-shirt on, and he kept bugging me and bugging me.
You like Jesus, so that why would that bother you?
Well, because I was full of demonic stuff. I was. When you're not living for the King, then you're gonna reject anybody that's acting like they love him. And this man was presenting something to me that was real. I mean, I was 33 or 4 years old and never been presented with the gospel in America. Never been told about Jesus was Lord and he could take away your sins and remove the, any of that, nothing. Nobody has ever confronted me.
So he was confronting you.
He was confronting me and I was running. But there was something that kept bringing us together. And he was speaking things into my life.
But I'm talking about the time that you hurt your back.
Well, this is right after that. This guy was a power lifter. He was a Christian. So I decided, well, I'm going to be a power lifter. So I put my soul into it. And I was doing deep squats, and I never came out of them. I went down and never come out. I just crushed my spine.
Oh my goodness, can you picture that? It's almost like an accordion. He crushes his spine in those heavy weights in the gym. We'll pick up right here. Don't go away.
Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter here with Mike Schwartz, and I'm going to tell you, I wish you could have heard what we were talking about during the commercial break, but we left off when Mike is in the gym, and he's going to be a power lifter, because he likes the way people look that are power lifters, and all of a sudden he's lifting a weight, and what happened with your spine?
Well, I had two or three disc collapse, and I couldn't walk, or I couldn't do anything. I was in horrible pain all the time. And I went to the chiropractors and I went to the doctors and they say, you'll have to quit work. You can't work anymore. You'll never work again. And this and that and all this gloom and doom. And I was working a construction job making great money, $1,500 a week back then. And that was a lot of money. And I was just macho and sport car, just winging it, having a good time in life. Finally, I'm not Mr. Rejection anymore. I'm worth something because I got some money, you know.
You also got some muscles, maybe.
Yeah, well, I started to look better after a while, you know, you know. And I wasn't, I was doing something I wasn't failing at. I felt like a failure all my life. And now this came up, and I was just angry again. So this Christian took me over to his house one day, and this man, his cousin, came in from New Orleans. And I was in his house whining, you know, and the doctors are saying, you'll never work again, we this and that. And I was in pain, you know. And this guy walks up to me and just looks at me. He said, would you like Jesus to heal you? And I looked at him and I said, I'd like anybody to heal me. But I says, if Jesus can heal me, I'd like that. And it was selfish reason. It wasn't that I wanted to know. Yeah, I wanted to be healed. I was hurting.
What happened?
And he says, well, you kneel down here with me and we'll pray for you. And I said, I can't kneel down. So one got on each arm and they set me down. And he walked up and he put his hand on my back and says, Jesus, heal him. And instantly, some heat went through my back. The pain quit. I looked at both of these guys and said, this is real. I got off the floor and I says, take me to the gym. I went to the gym and I put 100 more pounds on than I've ever lifted. And I was picking the stuff up. It was like when the Holy Ghost is on you, you're a different person. And I was throwing weights all over the place and I'm on fire. And I kept started thanking Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this is, they started taking me to church all through Kansas City and stuff. And I started witnessing about, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't nothing. I just know that God touched me and I was telling the church that Jesus heals.
Jesus really does heal.
Yeah. And I went, I know it. Nobody can, you can tell me a lot of things we may not think he does, but I know he heals because he healed me and it's real. And it's never gone away. This has been 20 years almost.
Okay, tell me about the time you heard an audible voice from God.
The first time I heard an audible voice was when I was doing cocaine in a crack house in Kansas City. There was this black brother, and I used to go there. I was the only white man that could ever go in the neighborhoods and be left alone. They never bothered me. And I was freebasing coke. And this voice said, Michael, and I looked up and said, Michael, I'm not going to let you get high anymore. And I knew it was God. I knew it was God. I says, garbage. And I went and bought $100 worth of coke and freebased it. I couldn't get high. And I ran in the guy's front room and I threw a temper tantrum on the guy's floor.
Really?
And this is his drug dealers looking at him, and I'm throwing it. And he said, what's your problem? I says, God won't let me get high no more. And I was throwing a fit. So he run me off. And the time that was really impressive to me, though, was when I decided I wanted to become a Christian, but I wanted to do it on my terms. And
Well, God's been pretty gracious to you till then.
Oh, more than that. But, you know, he picked me. I'm thankful for that because he wasn't going to quit on me. And he knew everything that he allowed me to go through until that day that he knew I was going to say yes. I know he knew that.
So what happened on that day?
I've been going to church and trying to be a Christian. I saw some very honorable things, especially what I saw in my wife. My wife's a woman of God. Boy, she's a jewel. And I wanted to be a Christian, but I didn't trust God. I didn't trust anybody. I was afraid, is this real? You know, I didn't trust anything. So I tried to do it, and I tried to go through the motion, but all this stuff was drawing me to other women, and I wasn't married then. And it was drawing me back to this, it was drawing me back to that. But God was still speaking to me, and just, you could feel him tugging and tugging. So I didn't know what to do. I mean, you know, and then I was coming home in the rush hour at Kansas City, and I had this beat up Pinto station wagon with the doors wired shut and the mufflers hanging off. And the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice. He says, Michael, today I want you to give me your heart. I says, no. He says, today, give me your heart, or I will lift my spirit off you, and you'll go to hell.
Those are strong words. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. But what if God said to you, today you must give me your heart, or you will go to hell? Do you realize that today could be the last moment of your life? We'll be back in just a moment and find out what happened to Michael. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Mike Schwartz, and we're having so much fun in between during the break. We're going to go to Janie in the control room. Janie, Mike has just told me that he has gotten drunk in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is falling on him so much, and he said, before this is over, I'm going to get drunk, and who's on for next week before I get drunk?
I think that's about to happen to me. Well, you'll be interviewing another man who was full of rage, but this man had detailed plans of murdering masses of white people. He related to black Muslims and Malcolm X, but something happened in his car. He heard something, and it made this man full of hate love all people.
It sounds to me like it's the same type of thing that's just happened to Mike Schwartz. Mike, God says that today you must accept him or it'll be too late. What were his exact words?
His exact words is, Michael, he says, I want you to give me your heart or I will lift my spirit off you and you will go to hell. And I'm at the rush hour in Kansas City traffic on a Friday and I'm beating the dashboard out of this car And he said that to me three times. And I said no the third time. And I started to say it the fourth time. I was going to go no. And I said,
wait, why would you say no to God? God who saved your life. God, the only one that really loved you. Why would you say no to him?
Well, I guess when all anger and bitterness and resentment stems back, it goes back to the one that can control everything is God. If you know it or not, now I know I was bitter and angry at him. And I didn't trust him. Why should I? I felt like I'd been dealt a bad set of cards. And, you know, this is the way you feel. This is not the truth.
The truth is you did have a tough life.
But I have a testimony, too. And Jesus rescued me.
Well, tell me what happened.
Well, the fourth time, I said yes. And I broke. And I cried and I beat the dash up. And I said to him, okay. And he said, repeat after me.
He said that?
He said, repeat after me.
Wait. I usually say that. God said that to him. Repeat after me. What did he tell you to repeat?
He said, I want you to give me your heart, your mind, your body, your life, your future, and let me do what I want to do with it. And I didn't even think I had one. I didn't know that was available as a human being. I just was looking for the pit. And I said, yes, God. And he said a couple other things that I can't remember now that were anti-selfishness. And then he said to me, and I thought I was done. And he said to me, this is the God I know, P.S. I says, what? He said, Michael, no conditions. He says, you have to drop every one of your conditions. And I said, Jesus, I'll go anywhere, do anything, no matter what it is, what it means, your will be done. And my life instantly changed in that car. No more drugs, no more drinking, no more women, no, instantly.
Instantly?
No withdrawals from anything.
No, but physiologically, that's not possible.
Yeah, exactly. And I went home, I went back, and I went back to, and My wife, who's my wife now, looked at me, she says, what happened to you?
She could see something.
Oh, yeah, I was a different coot. I was a different coot. There was even a measure of some peace for the first time. I was wired for sound. And I had a conversion experience. When the King of Glory comes in your heart, things have to change. I mean, you just can't go on the way you were. There has to be something different.
God is so good.
Amen.
God is so good. I mean, He didn't give up on you. You gave up on the world. You gave up on God, but He didn't give up on you.
No.
And He didn't give up on you. Yeah. He did not give up on you. Why do you think you're watching this right now? Now, they're going to be very upset with me, Mike, if you don't tell me about supernatural transportation.
Well, I figured this was normal transportation for Christians. It's in the scriptures.
It is.
It is. And you don't hear a lot of it, and it's not my fault. And what I want to say is I had nothing to do with this transportation problem, and I didn't...
Describe one time.
Jesus told us to go to England. I told a friend, and the Lord told him to go. We went to England, and we got in this car with these English people, this van, and we're going down the motorway, and the van fills up with smoke, or it looked like smoke. Well, we weren't alive, it didn't feel like. And we were listening to worship, and then time quit. And the next thing I knew, we like come to, and we were 100 kilometers down the motorway.
Instantly?
Well, I don't...
Were you driving the car?
No, I was watching the guy driving. It didn't look like he could drive either. He kind of was distorted and just... I asked him later what happened. He says, I don't know how I drove. The car was just filled up.
Filled up with smoke?
Smoke. Or cloud or something white. And we were just worshiping, and all of a sudden we were 100 miles down the motorway.
Has this happened more than once?
Three or four times. It just happened a month ago when I was hunting. Well, it happened on the way from Texas to Oklahoma. I was looking at a road sign at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I had an appointment at 8. So I figured if I drive so many miles an hour, I can make it. And the roadside said 62 miles an hour, and it was exactly 7. I was wide awake, and I had my family in the car. And all of a sudden, I felt this strange, like, wind blow through me. And I heard somebody laugh. And it's like, I knew it was Jesus. I says, what's the deal? And I looked over at the road sign. It said 20 miles to Wichita. And I looked at my watch and I says, 16 minutes. You can't do it. It's impossible. And it's just like he was laughing. And I says, well, why'd you do that? And he says, I felt like it. And then he told me, he says, in the end times, this is going to be the mode of transportation for his church. He says, when we think that you can't go somewhere because of what's coming up, trouble, he says, I don't need airplane tickets. I don't need money. He says, I'll just send whoever I want to send, where I want to send them. He says, this is my mode of transportation. And then a month ago, I was in the mountains hunting with two friends. And there's this windy road that I hate it. It's just washboard, and I hate it. And it's the end of the day, and we didn't kill our buck, and I just... And all of a sudden, I'm on the bottom of the road, and I feel this thing go through me again. And by now, I recognize it's about the third or fourth time. I look at my friends, and I says, how did we miss all the bumps? And he looked at me, he says, we didn't go through all that stuff, did we? I said, no. I says, did we drive by all this stuff? He says, no. And I knew the Lord, you know, it was 3 miles down the hill.
And you just instantly...
I was just there.
How about that? Just there. But that doesn't mean a thing. I'm going to tell you what means something. Knowing God for yourself. Knowing He loves you. Knowing that you could not have gotten to this point without Him protecting you. Maybe it's not as obvious as Mike, but He has supernaturally protected you. For right now, repent of your sins, ask Jesus to forgive you, and in the name of Jesus, ask God to be your Father. You need a Father. You need a Father that loves you, not for what you do, but who you are. He loves you. God really loves you. He's your father. He really is.